Good evening once again. So I have the great privilege to introduce our preacher for the evening, and it is the Reverend John Brown from Pillar Church. Any Pillar folks out there? All right. So John is a 1999 graduate of Hope College, chemistry. So, an example, you can do chemistry and preach. I'm just saying. Graduate of Western Theological Seminary. He's actually a doctoral student there now. And he has four lovely daughters and his wife, Kristen. So shout out to the estrogen crew that he has there. They're awesome. Ava Grace, their littlest daughter, is like my best friend. She's really cool. So John Brown and Joel Boersma is going to read our scripture for today.
Thank you very much, James, and thank all of you for letting Joel and I be with you tonight. James, I think you said you can do chemistry and preach. I think it's actually you can't do chemistry, so you preach. That's how it went with me. We're going to continue on the No Other Gospel journey that you've been enjoying for the last several weeks tonight through the book of Galatians. Joel's going to read for you Galatians 3, verses 23 through 29. The same passage I read with a group of students last Sunday in preparation for this Sunday. I wanted to hear what they were thinking. I wanted to hear what you were thinking. One of them texted me during the week and said, I think it should be a gospel sermon. Do you know what a gospel sermon is? A gospel sermon is one in which the name of Jesus is lifted up in such a way that people would want to come to know him more intimately and follow him more faithfully in the world. This is a gospel sermon. Does that sound okay? All right, Joel's going to read for us from, this is Joel, by the way. When did you graduate from Hope?
2012.
And then this May from Duke Divinity School. And now he hangs out with me at Pillar, looking to hang out with you. So clear your calendars.
The word of the Lord from the Apostle Paul. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Joel, very much. The argument Paul is making in Galatians 3 culminates in, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. If you belong to Christ, then, it's a theorem. Mr. Brinks, isn't that 7th grade algebra? 8th grade, somewhere in there, I took it twice. A theorem is an if-then statement. If actually is the accepted truth, then is the consequential truth. If this is true, then that's true. If you belong to Christ is not wondering, do you belong to Christ? If you belong to Christ is saying, you belong to Christ. Then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. If you belong to Christ, everything God has promised the people of God from the beginning belongs to you too. It's all yours. Yours for the sharing, yours for the giving, yours for the extending, if you belong to Christ, because you belong to Christ. So I thought for tonight, we could listen to a belonging to Christ story. Andrews, does that sound okay? I want you to listen carefully, and I want you to listen well. There we go. early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down, and he began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, making her stand before them. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the very act of committing adultery." Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? They said this to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. And Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the ground. And they kept on questioning him. And he straightened up and he said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw the stone at her." And he bent down again and wrote on the ground. When they heard this, they all went away, one by one, beginning with the elders, until Jesus was alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go now and do not sin again." This also is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's John 8, I think. It's a belonging to Christ story. If you belong to Christ, because you belong to Christ, belonging to Christ means believing in Christ, means freedom in Christ, means unity in Christ, and everything else thrown in. Does that sound like a good evening before we come to the table? Belonging to Christ means believing in Christ, means freedom in Christ, means unity in Christ, and everything else thrown in. Belonging to Christ means believing in Christ. There is no other way around it. The Christian faith has been insisting for as long as there's been a Christian faith, the antecedent to the promises God offers to us is faith. A faith that has room for questions, a faith that has place for doubt, but faith all the same. Faith still. Sooner or later, you must bow your head and bend your knee in submission to the risen Christ, who is Lord over all things. Belonging to Christ means believing in Christ. Did you notice how many times in Galatians 3, the Apostle Paul uses the word faith? 5 times, I counted. Now, before faith came, guarded under the law until faith would be revealed, therefore the law was our disciplinary until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. Faith, faith, faith. Belonging to Christ means believing in Christ. So the woman is caught in adultery, red-handed. That had to be awkward. They drag her into church, the last place, I'm guessing, she wanted to be. They drag her into the temple because that's where Jesus is, and they show her before Christ. And they bring up the law. They bring it out, and they say, "What do you say, Jesus?" And you know what he says? You know what he gets around to saying after he writes in the ground? Remember what he says? "Neither do I condemn you." Belonging to Christ means believing in Christ, and Christ has forgiven you. "Neither do I condemn you" is the promise. "Neither do I condemn you" is the reality. "Neither do I condemn you" is the truth of the Christian gospel. So it's 4 weeks into your freshman year, and it's been a troubling couple of weeks. "Neither do I condemn you." So you're 7 months from turning your tassel to the side, and it's been a troubling 3.5 years, 4.5 years. Neither do I condemn you. Neither do I. Belonging to Christ means believing in Christ. That you're forgiven. I'd love for you to come to the table tonight in just a few minutes. I'd love for you to come to the table and maybe just possibly for the first time, acknowledge faith in Christ. Neither do I condemn you, he promises. Belonging to Christ means believing in Christ. It means freedom in Christ. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came so that we might be justified by faith. The law had been the taskmaster. The law had been pushing them down, keeping them down. But in Christ, through his life, death, and resurrection, you're free. Free from the past you can't change, launched into a future in which you can be changed. So when Jesus bent down, do you want to know what he wrote in the ground? Wouldn't that be amazing if we knew? Wouldn't that be remarkable to know? We have no other record of Jesus writing anything. And it got trampled under the feet of thousands of people the next day, maybe whisked away by an Israeli wind. We have no idea what Jesus wrote. John, the gospel writer, isn't all that interested in telling us what he wrote. But he is interested in telling us how he wrote it. Isn't that fascinating? Tell us what he wrote, Jesus. Not how he wrote it. Who cares? Unless John cares. When he wrote with his finger in the ground, when was the last time, if any of you have read the Bible, when was the last time in the Bible we find anyone writing something with their finger? Anybody remember this? It's Old Testament. Think Mount Sinai, Jubilee, Ten Commandments. When God wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger, could John be telling us not what Jesus wrote, but how he wrote it? Because John is making the point, Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus fulfills the law. Jesus says to the woman, neither do I condemn you, but he doesn't stop there. That would be called cheap grace. He says, now go from here and don't do it anymore. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, not so that you can go on doing all that you've been doing, but rather so that you can live your life whole and full and free in Jesus, following Christ. You know what I'm saying? Belonging to Christ means freedom in Christ, freedom for a life of wholeness with Jesus Christ. Belonging to Christ means believing in Christ, means freedom in Christ, means unity in Christ. You heard that Joel read it so perfectly. There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. All are one in Christ. The unity our world so desperately longs for is realized in Jesus Christ. It is not a manufactured unity. Can't we all just get along? You're okay, I'm okay, it's okay is not unity. The unity we're longing for is not a dismissal of our convictions, but leaning into our convictions. There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, but all are one in Christ. So the woman is dragged before Jesus and meant to be shamed before the gathered crowd. Jesus bends down and writes with his finger in the ground. Now, I told you we don't know what he wrote, and that's true, but I have a guess. This isn't my guess. Actually, Steve Baumeprediger gave this to me. When Jesus, he was my ethics professor in seminary, when Jesus wrote with his finger in the ground, you know what he wrote? And this is a guess. Don't put this in a paper. When he wrote, you know what he wrote? Where's the man? So let me get this straight. The woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Wouldn't it stand to reason the man was caught in the act of adultery too? So where's the man? That's what he wrote the first time. And then he bends down and says, I'm guessing now. Again, don't footnote me. It will not go well. The second time he bent down and wrote with his finger in the ground, you know what he wrote? The man's name. The man, some professors of mine have suggested, was a scribe or a Pharisee. He was one among them. They were using him to get to her, to get to Jesus, to test him. This is not just a forgiveness story, though it is a forgiveness story. It's a cultural critique on a patriarchal system that keeps women down and keeps women out. There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, but all are one in Christ. There we go. Belonging to Christ means believing in Christ, means freedom in Christ, means unity in Christ, and everything else thrown in. All of the promises offered throughout the scriptures, offered again to you who belong to Christ. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you. I will keep you wherever you go. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. All of the promises of God extended to you through Jesus Christ. My daughter, Lydia, she's 11. Probably about like that now. She's in sixth grade. My daughter's in middle school. It's hard on me, but I'm going to be okay. She's wonderful. She's so kind. She's so sweet. She's so nice. She's getting a little sassy as a sixth grader. I'll say something like, hey, Lids, you want to go clean your room? And she'll say, no, it's my room. And I'll say, no, it's my room. Do you pay the bills? And she says, Dad, one day it will all be mine. And she's right. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. She's actually got me. She's theologically accurate. Paul says the same thing, only without the sass. If you belong to Christ, everything's thrown in. It's all yours, yours to share, yours to give, yours to extend to a world in desperate need. C.S. Lewis has a great line in a book titled Mere Christianity. Look for yourself, and in the end you'll find loneliness, despair, decay, rage, and ruin. Look for Christ, and you'll find him. And with him, everything else thrown in. Belonging to Christ means believing in Christ, means freedom in Christ, means unity in Christ, and everything else. I got an email on Monday from my friend Aaron, member of the Hope College community. A year ago, his dad died of an incurable cancer called multiple myeloma. Spent the year doing what you do in your grief, visitations and the funeral and birthdays and Christmas. Email on Monday. Hi, John. I wanted to update. I have his permission, by the way. Hi, John. I wanted to update you. We found out late last week that mom has a brain tumor. The doctors have used words like cancerous and aggressive. She's had two MRIs and is scheduled for an fMRI this morning with surgery scheduled for tomorrow. Not knowing much yet about the procedure means we don't know much about the recovery or timing. I'm pretty sure she had 30 family members visit yesterday. So she's been pretty busy. My sister's down from Houghton, and all three of us kids have been spending time. Mom's roommate was not as appreciative of all the visitors at one point and told her family it sounded like a Sunday school picnic over on the other side of the curtain. Allison thinks that is a perfect description for this family. As I left the hospital on Saturday night after we heard the difficult diagnosis and prognosis, I thought right away of Psalm 121. I didn't like leaving Mom there for the night, but I left her with the Bible open for her to read the psalm later, and she did. I found comfort in the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer number one. I belong, and so does Mom, to Christ. Body and soul, in life and in death, the same themes echo in Psalm 121. The Lord watches over you. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going both now and forever. Leaving the hospital at night has been tough sometimes. It's all hard, but I'm grateful. Aaron. I belong, and so does Mom. In life and in death, all that God promises, yours. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You, Christ, by your life and in your death and from your resurrection, we find life, we have life, we receive abundant life. May it be for each of us who gather here tonight, as we gather around the table, our love for you would grow deeper. Our willingness to follow you in the world would grow stronger. As we gather around the table, as you pour out yourself again through the bread and in the cup, nurture faith, launch us into freedom, draw us closer together for the work that is ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.